Transferring wealth successfully starts with asking yourself questions that will give your family a better life now and for generations to come. In this podcast, financial professionals John and Michael from Copper Beach Financial Group guide you through eye-opening questions to help you discover the truth about your wealth. Now, on to the show.
Hello and welcome to The Truth About Wealth with John and Michael Parise of Copper Beach Financial Group. Hi, guys. How are you?
Hey, Wendy. I'm good. How are you?
Hey, Wendy. We're doing great.
Hanging in there in this cold January, but yeah. You know, hopefully it'll be spring soon.
Yes, I think it's recording this not too far from Groundhog's Day, so, and that's always the scientific determinant, right?
How long very we're scientific. So what do we got going on today, guys?
Well, today we have a guest with us, Max Hansen from Y Scouts, the CEO and co-founder of Y Scouts. Max, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
Hey, Max.
Yeah. So, Max, I think we were talking a little bit before we started hopping in here and recording, but give a little bit of your backgrounds of yourself, your company, and then I think I'll pick it up and kind of outline why we brought you in here. I think this is going to be a great conversation here today.
You got it. Well, my company, Y Scouts, we're the first ever purpose-based leadership search firm on the planet that we know of. And I kind of will explain what that means to us and what that means to the market. My background, I've been in recruiting since 1998. I started my first recruiting company January of 2002 and I had a really successful run with another business partner. Grew three different recruiting companies, sold three recruiting companies in 2015. But in 2012, that's when we started Y Scouts. And we started to think about recruiting different. We saw some challenges, which we can get into, on hiring and things, the way things were kind of playing out due to the way job boards worked. And just philosophically, we didn't see a lot of people focusing on the soft skills, particularly as it pertains to leaders. So we created a model while we were successfully, you know, running a couple other businesses. So we had a little bit more, you know, kind of leeway to test some things. And so that's kind of how Y Scouts came to be, as we started to understand the gap of the problems that we were trying to solve, but mainly around aligning people on culture and leadership skills, in addition to professional competencies. And then there are some other things that we did as well. So it's been a great run. I transitioned in 2015 and have been focused on Y Scouts ever since. And it's been really fun working with a lot of fast growth companies. And I think that's where we kind of come together, I think, a bit, and really helping them with key hires that, you know, kind of help them change the game. A lot of times change the culture to something that better suits them, depending on what the situation is.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great introduction. And I love, if I could steal kind of a quote from your website, you have the term in your kind of about us page called hiring on purpose, which I really love, probably for the double meaning I would imagine that you've intended there. But that's I just think that's a great quote. So kudos to you.
Yeah, thank you. We actually have a book called Hiring on Purpose. It was published in 2017. And it does give kind of the philosophy that I'm referring to, that I'm sure we'll get into, around kind of why, what we saw change over the years, and why things are different, why we need to hire leaders different. So it's a great book. I give it to a lot of people that, you know, first introduced to our business, so they can kind of understand why we started and how we started it. It does get into how we do what we do, which we share. And I'll probably talk a little bit about that, but it's been a fun run. It wasn't an easy run though. I think we were very excited because there wasn't any other, you know, companies focusing on purpose and values alignment in addition to professional competency fit and leadership skills. And so it was kind of a sandbox that wasn't created. And to be quite honest, I thought it was going to be a rocket ship because there wasn't a sandbox, you know, even created. And we were, you know, kind of the first to market per se. And then what kind of happened is about two or three years into this journey of, you know, telling people why we were doing what we were doing, everybody got that. But back before, call it pre-2015, so between 2011 and 2015, everybody understood, you know, what we were doing. They just weren't ready to do it yet. So there was quite a bit of lift. It was a lot of caring. It was heavy to get the message across. we always joke around and say nobody gets fired for hiring Heidrick & Struggles, which is a big, obviously, executive search firm. And so we just do things a little bit different. And one day, using the Heidrick & Struggles, one day, I think it was about 2015 or 16, Heidrick & Struggles put on their website that they are a purpose-based leadership search firm too. And so not debating whether they are or aren't, but my argument would be it's really hard to do and to change an aircraft carrier, a big ship, to address all of the soft skills in a different way would be very difficult. So anyway, that was part of our journey. What we came to understand is aligning people on purpose and values is table stakes now. But in about 2015, in our opinion, that's where it really started to become more table stakes. And it was more of a movement that we were a part of, you know, kind of driving. So that's kind of how we see it. And now, you know, we've used our process and people really align with the brand. And to your point, the term kind of hiring on purpose, I think people get because of kind of the double meaning that it has.
Yeah. Well, why we really were excited to have you on, Max, is because, I mean, we deal with this pretty much every day indirectly with our clients in terms of them being privately held companies. They're struggling oftentimes with succession of their business, which is almost always the largest asset that they have in the family. And so it becomes really important to protect that value that they've worked so hard to create. And creating this next generation of leader is, we try to make it into a really a high priority project for them, again, just to protect that value. And so, you know, it's always a struggle that they have oftentimes to, let's say, evaluate key talent within the company that they may have on staff already, or if they don't have that, how do we bring in that key talent to maybe protect the value? Or is it the next generation of the family, you know, that's going to step in? So I think just having you on with this kind of purpose-driven process was really what we were excited about having you on. But I'm interested to start off, if I can, Max, with what are you seeing out there today? You know, obviously now the beginning of 2024, like how has this process changed from your estimation in terms of hiring key talent for a business to, again, help protect it for the family?
Yeah, so it's a big question. I think where I'd start out is I don't think it has changed that much. I think it's just become more critical that you hire the right leaders and, you know, these, I call them closely held type of opportunities. And yeah, closely held, by the way, is pretty loosely a loose term now. There's even some private equity backed companies that I would say are closely held because the founders are still involved.
Right.
But I think, you know, to your point, I think if you tell any hiring leader or, you know, anybody in ownership or somebody that's stewarding over these companies, whether they're in an active role or an ownership role, if you said, do you think hiring is the most important thing you do in order to build your business? I think everyone would say yes. But what I see is I ask people that question, they all say yes, but their actions say something different. And what I mean by that is we've had, like, we call it a talent strategy index, where I would come in and try to evaluate, you know, what's going on in a company. And typically I'd start with the CEO and then I'd go kind of maybe the leader in HR, just to start understanding what they do in their own internal practices, their hiring practices. And the one question in this talent strategy index was, how repeatable and scalable is your hiring process? I saw that answered and still see that answered, you know, through conversations, lower than you would ever think. Yet everybody agrees it's the most important thing. And so to me, it's, you know, interesting. And then for me, and I'm sure you guys, what's even more interesting to me is, you know, in a, you know, call it recessionary like times per se, I mean, people can argue different, but right now, statistically, if you look at, you know, all the baby boomers that are kind of fading out that have kind of different work ethics and have really been pushing forward a lot of companies. And then statistically, a lot of new roles and new leadership roles coming up, just those two factors alone are leaving a huge gap in the amount of leaders that we need. And then we start getting into the quality of leaders and what makes a great leader. So to me, the most interesting thing going on right now is, I think great leadership, given all the technological advances and downturn, call it, that's going on now, that we still, in my opinion, Great leadership is the need for great leadership is an all-time high.
Yeah, I think we would agree with that. Yeah, for sure.
It's scary at the all-time high because we're working with two families now that one particular, they keep hiring the wrong people because they don't have a good process to evaluate talent because they're too busy working in the business, not on the business. And I think finding a manager that could run that process, there's a big weakness in their operation. Therefore, they hire the wrong people and they end up wasting a lot of funds. So that's probably the biggest thing we see.
Well, and I would think too, you know, again, this may not be all of the clients that you work with, Max, but a lot of them that we work with are family run operations. And to try to find, you know, number one, if you're coming in from outside the family, that can be a difficult dynamic, I would imagine, to manage. But you want to find somebody that has those same purpose and values that the family has if you are likely going to hire from outside the family. I'm wondering if you have any stories or insight there on just how that dynamic might be managed properly.
Yeah. No, this is something I'm super interested in. We don't necessarily just focus on family-run businesses, but we've run into a lot of, you know, businesses that were, you know, family-run situations, and particularly with the process that we use, the strength is helping leaders define what success looks like in the role. And when you get that right, you know, you're obviously set up. And if you get that wrong, then you go hire somebody to, you know, call it blueprint that isn't the right blueprint. So that's the thing that I would say, you know, is super challenging. The other thing that is, it's almost paradoxical, is that in order to hire fast, you have to slow down. So at the beginning of a search, to your point, when these leaders start making the wrong decision, I see it compounded with rushing and, you know, doing some, you know, weird stuff that it feels like they're speeding it up and they're helping get to, you know, the outcome they want, but they're actually making it worse and compounding it. So it's really about understanding, you know, and breaking yourself down to clearly define what success looks like. And if you're hiring somebody, a lot of times what we'll run into, and I've run into this many times and have a lot of stories, I think we shared a couple the first time we talked, but
yeah,
where, you know, you're hiring somebody for the first time and it's just outside the family, there is a lot more that needs to be talked through. There's a lot of things that you would assume people in a family would talk about in their business, but they haven't. So, you know, getting really clear on what success looks like. And the other thing that I'd point out that might be helpful for just people is that we always tend to take a lot of time looking at and defining the three success outcomes along with what we call key responsibilities under those success outcomes in the first 12 to 18 month window. And the reason why we look at it like that is a lot of people try to, everybody wants to hire a great leader, obviously, for years to come. But the truth is that if you don't hire the leader that can do the things in front of you well, especially if you're behind the eight ball and those things haven't been getting done, the most important success outcome. So it takes sometimes a little while to really figure out what those are to start. And instead of trying to create a job description that has everything in the kitchen sink in it for this person to succeed for the next 10 years, I think everybody, you know, kind of knows, but they don't really focus on this, is the next 12 to 18 months is the most important, because if the person can't achieve those and the company can't achieve those with a new person on board, then kind of the rest doesn't matter. And I say that, you know, kind of cheek and tongue a little bit, but it's true. If you ask any of these folks, and I'm sure you guys have lots of family-run businesses where, you know, they're closely held, and you know, if the person doesn't come in and hit the ground somewhat running, they're not going to last that long. And so that it becomes critical to really look at that window and really get clear on the most concentrated, important success outcomes for that window of time. And I know that's a real specific thing, but I'm just thinking about, you know, the people that might be listening to this, that are your clients and that might be in this situation. We have a lot of passion, by the way. What's fun for us is I think I'm somewhat fortunate and have had such great teams that we grew one of our first businesses to 50 million. I started that when I was 25. So it kind of created maybe a different way to think about it. So when I created Y Scouts, our model is more of like, we will help you and it's a done for you service, but we'll also teach you our philosophy and teach you how to define the role when we're gone for other roles and really coach you in how to hire better. So I always say when we work with people is like, we're going to help you get this hire right, but pay attention to the things that we're doing, because in order for you to continue to scale your business, you have to continue to build your hiring muscle like it's a muscle and start working it out. So that's, you know, just something, another thing that I don't think a lot of people think about is, you know, hiring is something that they're always going to have to do, and they can't outsource all of it, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Actually, do you see it, the current environment, because we're starting to see a lot of it, where the privately held, this is a privately held company issue, where they have hopefully kids coming into the business ultimately, but in the meantime, they want to build a good management team to keep the company strong, because if they decide to sell the company, they could sell it to a private equity and there's a good management team and they get more value. They don't do that, they run the risk that if the leader goes, the company's less valued. So they're concerned about, A, giving an option for the kids to come into the business, but the kids are not, they're not ready to run a business. So they're looking to hire leaders that not only could keep the company growing and strong, but also teach the next generation of family members possibly coming into the business. But they're worried about how do I get almost guarantee that? How do I retain that executive to keep them here for 20 years to help that develop? Do you see a concern about retention as giving them different perks, different values for the company to make it all work? Do you see a lot of that?
You know, it's an interesting question. Like, we had this exact situation. I'm thinking about a family in Florida, and we helped them hire a COO. And this guy came in and just did a tremendous job. And specifically, he's really helping the kids. Yeah, I think, you know, I think it's just about finding the right person and the right person that is wanting a longer horizon and enjoys coaching and mentoring and, you know, kind of sees eye to eye with the family. Maybe somebody that's, you know, done something similar to that before, you know, so they're not stepping into something that they don't know, how it's going to, you know, how it's going to go down, you know, once they get in there. The interesting part is usually what we see with these closely held companies, and you guys probably see this as well, is that they need to hire, you know, leaders outside the family and really to increase the value of the company. And right. People. One, because anybody that came in, if they were to sell, which obviously they're not, but if they were, they would be devalued on the fact that they don't have a succession plan. So they need a person in there. And, you know, and then two, you know, you get that person in there and you know, and then all of a sudden they're not as dependent on other stuff. But I think it's just more about aligning the people and really understanding what the family ultimately wants long-term. And quite honestly, I love working with all types of companies, but companies that really are fun for me to work on is families that want it to be a legacy business. They see it as like, we don't plan on selling this. I've got one that we're hiring.
That's our world. Exactly.
Yeah. We're hiring it's a CEO role and it's a coaching business. And it was started by their mother, and the mother changed the name. It used to be under her name. And then they changed it under a more common name, and every one of the kids actually has a division in the business. And now we're hiring a CEO to basically run the business because they got it kind of, I guess, I won't call it stuck, but they've been at the same, they've been about $45 million for like 3 or 4 years. Those are super fun for me because when we reach out to the market and we start talking to candidates, smart candidates or A players that have options, the first thing they ask is, you know, if they've got options, they ask like, what is the plan of the business? And when the plan of the business is just to, you know, create a legacy business and build value for, you know, many years to come, you know, that's an interesting proposition because there's less of those out there as we, you know, move forward, as you guys probably know.
Yeah. I mean, I was actually, it's a good corollary to the question I was going to ask you, which is, you know, for that example, what are you seeing from a recruiting standpoint that a person of that caliber, obviously that has that pedigree, what do they want? Obviously you need to pay a competitive salary. Are more people in that situation asking for some sort of equity in the company? What other benefits are out there that you see that maybe some of our listeners should be thinking about if they're trying to hire somebody in that position?
Yeah, I mean, I think the obvious one, you know, we were talking about compensation, you know, some sort of phantom equity plan makes a lot of sense for a lot of leaders. And I always suggest that. I mean, if somebody, if they already got something where, you know, they've got a pool of shares and they've already got it like put aside and they've already kind of like got it documented, you know, that may make sense. But most companies that we work with, it's probably similar to yours, they don't have that. And I think most leaders coming into these situations, they don't really want to pay the tax consequences on those shares. So phantom typically, you know, is an option. But I think one of the things that's like not right down the middle and obvious besides, you know, comp and bonus and then long-term incentives like we're talking about, but I think it's development. I think the one thing that people want the most is development. And you might not have that in your company right now, but you can always hire coaches. And when people see that you're willing to invest in their development, I think that's the one thing that people underestimate. And it's, you know, something that really can differentiate, you know, one company and one role from another. It also differentiates, you know, what people want. You know, we have a leadership model, but the one elevated behavior that is the most important, there's three, but it's being a relentless learner. So if you have, if you're pitching a role, which we are on our client's behalf, once we get to that point, and you know, there's the compensations, like it gets into development, like they're willing to help the leader. I think that attracts a certain type of leader that I tend to like a little bit more. And I think usually it works out and tends to have the mindset of helping and developing the team, which is, you know, much of what's needed in this time and age.
Yeah. Another question I have, Max, is at what point in time, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but I believe you guys focus a lot on more the C-suite type of executive. Is that correct?
Yep. We do almost all C-suite, C-level retain hires. We do a lot of COOs and second in commands. However, again, it just depends on the size of the company. A really good operator can have the title president. It just depends what the company needs. But yeah, most of it C-level, but it's interesting that you're asking this question now because we are just about this quarter to launch what we call an emerging leadership search practice, which gets more into manager and director levels. It will be offered to our current clients first, because I think we'll have a pretty big, a lot of demand for it. And we want to kind of carefully put our, you know, kind of get into that world with a model that's a little bit different. It's a little bit abbreviated, but so that's, sorry, the somewhat short answer.
No, that's awesome. Yeah, no, that's great. I'm glad to hear that. But what I was going to ask you is for, you know, going back to that C-suite position, at what point from your experience do you see businesses taking that leap and hiring somebody out from outside of the, sort of their orbit a little bit? Because that's, I'm sure, at least from our experience, that's always a challenge for somebody that starts a company. There's sort of that owner operator that you alluded to, and they maybe reach a point where they need to start thinking about having some other outside party to come in and take that role, whatever it may be, COO, CFO, whatever it is. What do you see as like a good time frame to start thinking about that? I'm sure it's a loaded question because it probably varies by industry, but I was wondering if you had any input there.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think when you start thinking about, you know, we do a lot of comp reports, and I'm sure you guys talk about this a bit as well. Mm-hmm. I think when you start talking about hiring a C-suite, I mean, any different businesses have different margins. So this isn't a one size fits all. Right. But, you know, sometimes we'll tell a business, you know, probably under 10 million, you know, C-suite, if you want to go that direction, you can. Typically, above 10 million when you start to see, you know, C-level just in general. Now I'm like oversimplifying quite a bit, but I think the one driver, because we do a lot of second in command, and I use that loosely because sometimes that could be a VP of ops depending on their size versus a COO. Usually it's when you start to see the bottleneck with the visionary of the company, that's typically the CEO, and we're, you know, they're bottlenecking in so many ways that they need typically, you know, a COO or somebody that runs ops to, you know, basically help them get back into their highest and best use of their time. Typically, you know, visionaries, we talk about this so much. And I shouldn't use just visionary because EOS, which we're very familiar with, we actually help the EOS worldwide with some stuff. The CEO role, like the interplay between the ops person that leads ops and that CEO, and I'll say visionary, but the visionary isn't, you know, sometimes just visionary. Sometimes they're good operators too, but they need a partner in crime. But when they're the bottleneck and they start to need somebody to help them take stuff off their plate, typically the problem is, and this may ring true to a lot of CEOs out there, is when they start to get a little frustrated because they don't love building processes and systems. So they get to a point where they need more infrastructure and they don't naturally build processes and systems. And then they don't naturally love, this isn't everybody, but probably a large percentage of the majority, where the CEO isn't good at holding people accountable. Some are, but you think about the best, you know, visionary and creatives that can cast a vision and sell everybody into it. Typically their skill set isn't holding people accountable in building processes and systems. So there's a point there where people start to understand what their limits are. And that's usually, you know, the time to build a C-suite to help them, you know, kind of execute their business plan.
Yeah, that's very much what we see, I think. Yeah, no, that was...
I'm laughing because we got several.
Yeah.
Oh, it's the same thing. You know, what's interesting though about that is I love this problem. I'd say out of, you know, my purpose, I went through a process. Obviously, we're a purpose-based leadership search firm. Our purpose is to transform how people and companies connect to work that matters. My personal purpose is to help others better succeed in life. And I used to coach sports, and it took me, believe it or not, a long time to figure out that I could do that in business. I actually thought when I started my career that I was going to go, I started in staffing at Aerotech years ago. It's based in Baltimore. And I thought that I was going to go make a bunch of money so I could go coach and do what I loved. And then it took me, you know, years to figure out that I could get that, you know, really by helping, helping people, leaders, really, you know, succeed in business and, you know, use that and kind of angle and pour my purpose into that. But what I've started to realize and what I love about Wise Scouts for me personally, and it's not just about me, but it's really helping, and you guys do this every day, helping entrepreneurs get unstuck. Like, I've been in YPO, I think 12 years now. So I've got a lot of exposure to a lot of different entrepreneurs of all different types. I was in EO 10 years before that, or for 10 years prior to that. And then just, you know, in the work that we're doing, I've just been really lucky to meet a lot of awesome leaders. And I think that my personal passion, and I say this very humbly, you know, something I'm really good at is talking to a leader and really trying to understand, you know, what they're trying to do with a business and get their mindset different to get unstuck. And usually it's around, you know, figuring out what this number two or some other key role needs to do on their leadership team. So that's a really fun topic just for me. I don't want to get too far into it because we might get off track and bore some people because I could talk for hours just on that.
Yeah, no, I mean, your passion is very palpable. So yeah,
I'm going to put you on the spot. When you get involved with a firm or company, deliver your... Especially, what's your success ratio? Making things change or getting things to change?
So we have a 6-month pretty much unconditional guarantee. It used to be a year. We reduced it to 6 months because our success rate is over 90%. So it was just under 1 out of 10. And in those times that was happening, we noticed that it always happened earlier than 6 months. So we just took I don't call it a hard stance because we'll listen to our clients, whatever they have to say, but you know, they look for us to advise them. So we said, hey, we've seen this a few times, unfortunately, and we knew every time that it needed to be taken care of sooner than later. In fact, letting it go, you know, another 3-4 months only made things worse. And so we pushed the issue. So it's 90%. And then we have a 6-month guarantee and we, you know, push that, you know, really you should know in the first 6 months, in my opinion. If you don't, you're just not calibrating often enough.
Yeah, no, I mean, from our limited experience with companies in your industry, that seems perfectly fair. So yeah, that's like amazing success ratio.
It's really good. It's excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd say, you know, when we talk about it, I don't want to take anything away from our teams and the hard work and our process that a lot of people, you know, help put together and build and outside resources at all. But the one thing I would say, just like you guys, I'm sure, you know, you have the opportunity to pick your, you know, clients wisely that, you know, they kind of believe in your philosophy. And I think
for
us, yeah, I think for us, you know, like we put it out there, like there's some messaging and you can tell when people's are aligned on values. Now, sometimes people snow us because they, you know, want us to believe that maybe they're more aligned with us and try to sell us into helping them. But I mean, through the process, we easily undercover that. But my point to that is a lot of it has to do with picking the clients that really feel the same way you do about hiring the right leaders and value the same things you value. So that's been really important to our success.
Yeah. Now, Max, this has been great. I think we're running out of time, but I definitely want to have you back on.
Yeah, I think we have to maybe do some case studies because I think it's what you're doing is extremely important in today's world. No doubt.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, before we head out, I wanted to two questions. One, if there's anything that we haven't really covered that you think is important for our listeners to hear, love to hear it before we sign off. But also, you know, how if somebody's listening and wants to get in contact with you, how do they reach out to you? How do they contact you to get started?
Yeah, yscouts.com. It's yscouts.com is the best way to get a hold of us. We've got obviously contact forms and whatever else on there that can get you in touch with us. So that'd be the best way. I do stay somewhat active on LinkedIn. Like I try to make some content and videos just to kind of help people and give them, you know, free tips and things that we learn, just to stay kind of top of mind. So following me on LinkedIn wouldn't hurt either.
Perfect. Perfect. Well, Max, this has been great. I want to thank you again. I think that this is, to your point, Dad, I think something that is, you know, drastically needed. It's, I think businesses are struggling to, we see it anyway.
It's huge.
Recruiting and retaining key talent and kind of, to you said, hiring with a purpose, you know, making that a formal part of their business process is often, at least initially, foreign. I'm sure you see that a lot. So I think it's just really important to focus on this as a company, you know, to take your company to the next level, to protect its value. So thank you again for being a part of this. This has been awesome.
Yeah, thanks, Max. Always a pleasure.
Yeah, absolutely. I've got maybe one more thing to add.
Please. Sure.
It might help just people like in, you know, running businesses. This has nothing to do with, you know, really getting to us necessarily. But the one thing that I see that happens for leaders is they don't calibrate to understand the people that are reporting in their leadership team. And I think the easiest way to calibrate and is to ask anybody that's reporting to the CEO. The CEO should be asking the question on a scale of 1 to 10, how do you think you're doing in your role? And that's a really simple question, but people don't ask that very often. It's a really quick way to understand if people see eye to eye, whatever number they have, it's usually a 7 or an 8. Talk me through what's in the gap. And, you know, if what they see in the gap is the same, then they're on the same page. But when it's not, then it's an easy way to say, hey, can I give you feedback based on the number that you got? So the more times you can do that, the quicker that you'll either get on the same page or the quicker that you'll uncover you don't have the right leader in the role. So just a little thing that I share with a lot of people that are always like, wow, that was super helpful. Thanks for sharing that one tip. I know it's super like small. It's a good way for people to understand, you know, how things are going.
Yeah, that was great. Thanks. Thanks so much for that. And thanks again for being a part of the podcast here and looking forward to having you on sometime soon.
All right. Thanks, guys. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Max.
Michael, how can people get in touch with you guys if they have some questions?
Well, sure. We also are fairly active on LinkedIn. You can certainly contact us there, both my father and myself and Copper Beach Financial has a corporate page there as well. You can reach us on our website, www.cbfgllc.com for Copper Beach Financial Group, LLC. So you can reach us there, or if you want to call us on the phone, 856-988-8300.
All right.
Max, Michael always asks me if I'm... If I score myself, it's always a 10.
Right. Yes.
Thanks, Max.
Thank you, guys.
A 10, John. For sure.
Thanks, Wendy. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you guys for listening today. Please like, follow, and share this podcast with your friends. Until next time, I'm Wendy McConnell.
Thank you for listening to the Truth About Wealth podcast. Click the subscribe button below to be notified when new episodes become available. The information covered and posted represents the views and opinions of the guest and does not necessarily represent the views or opinions of Copper Beach Financial Group, The content has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The content is not intended to be a substitute for professional investing advice. Always seek the advice of your financial advisor or other qualified financial service provider with any questions you may have regarding your investment planning. This material is for informational purposes only. Neither APFS nor its representatives provide tax, legal, or accounting advice. Please consult your own tax, legal, or accounting professional before making any decisions. Copper Beach is not affiliated with American Portfolios Financial Services, Inc. and American Portfolios Advisors, Inc. Securities offered through American Portfolio Financial Services, Inc., a member of FINRA SIPC. Investment advisory and financial planning services offered through American Portfolio Advisors, Inc., an SEC-registered investment advisor. These opinions are subject to change at any time without notice. Any comments or postings are provided for informational purposes only and do not constitute an offer or a recommendation to buy or sell securities or other financial instruments. Readers should conduct their own review and exercise judgment prior to investing. Investments are not guaranteed, involve risk, and may result in a loss of principal. Past performance does not guarantee future results. Investments are not suitable for all types of investors. Copper Beach is an unaffiliated entity of American Portfolios Financial Services, Inc. and American Portfolios Advisors, Inc. Any opinion expressed in this forum is not the opinions of American Portfolio Financial Services, Inc. and American Portfolio Advisors, Inc. and have not been reviewed by the firm for completeness or accuracy. American Portfolios and Copper Beach Financial Group are not affiliated with any other named business entities mentioned.